say that Justinian's mother stated to some of her intimates that he was not the son of her husband Sabatius, nor of any man. For when she was about to conceive him, a demon visited her. He was invisible, but affected her with a certain impression that he was there with her as a man having intercourse with a woman, and then disappeared, as in a dream. And some of those who were present with the emperor at very late hours of the night, presumably, and held conference with him, obviously in the palace, men whose souls were pure, seemed to see a sort of phantom spirit, unfamiliar to them, in place of him. For one of these asserted that he would rise suddenly from the imperial throne and walk up and down there. Indeed, he was never accustomed to remain seated for long. And the head of Justinian would disappear, suddenly. But the rest of his body seemed to keep making these same long circuits, while he himself, as if thinking he must have something the matter with his eyesight, stood there for a very long time, distressed and perplexed. Later, however, when the head had returned to the body, he thought, to his surprise, that he could fill out that which a moment before had been lacking. And another person said that he stood beside him while he sat and suddenly saw that his face had become like featureless flesh, for neither eyebrows nor eyes were in their proper place, nor did it show any other means of identification whatsoever. After a time, however, he saw the features of his face return. These things I write, although I did not see them myself, but I do so because I have heard the story from those who declare that they saw the occurrences at the time. And they said that a certain monk, very dear to God, being persuaded by those who lived with him in the wilderness, set out to Byzantium in order to plead the cause of the people who lived very near the monastery and were being mistreated and wronged in an unbearable manner. And straight away, upon his arrival, he received admittance to the emperor. But when he was about to go into his presence, he stepped over the threshold with one foot, but suddenly recoiled and stepped back. Now, the eunuch, who was his conductor and the others present, besought the man earnestly to go forward, but he, making no answer, but acting like a man who had suffered a stroke, departed thence and went to the room where he was lodged. And when his attendants inquired for what reason he acted thus, they said that he declared outright that he had seen the Lord of the Demons in the palace sitting on the throne, and he would not care to associate with him or ask anything from him. And how could this man fail to be some wicked demon, he who had never had a sufficiency of food or drink or sleep, but taking a taste at haphazard of that which was set before him, walked about the palace at unreasonable hours of the night, though he was passionately devoted to the joys of Aphrodite? And some of the lovers of Theodora say that when she was on the stage, some sort of demon descended upon them at night and drove them from the room in which they were spending the night with her. And there was a dancing girl, Macedonia by name, belonging to the Blue faction in Antioch, a woman who had acquired great influence. For by writing letters to Justinian while he was still administering the empire for Justinus, she without difficulty kept destroying whomsoever she wished among the notable men of the East and causing their property to be confiscated to the treasury. They say that once this Macedonia, when greeting Theodora as she came from Egypt and Libya, noticed that she was very distressed and vexed over the high-handed treatment to which she had been subjected by Hecabolius, and also because she had lost some money on the journey. And so she comforted her greatly and encouraged her by suggesting that fortune was quite able to become once again for her a purveyor of great wealth. On that occasion, they said, Theodora remarked that in fact a dream had come to her during the night just past and had bidden her to lay aside all anxiety as far as wealth was concerned. For as soon as she would come to Byzantium, she would lie with the Lord of Demons, and would quite certainly live there with him as his married wife, and he would cause her to be mistress of money without limit.